We've been talking about it for a good chunk of the morning. I just want to reset exactly what this story is, because we're getting flooded with ticket texts. Some people may have only heard bits and pieces. Jameson Williams was pulled over. Well, his brother was pulled over, but he was in the car. And he avoided arrest after guns were found in the car. Detroit police are being investigated for what happened.
Guns weren't found. They were
disclosed. So let me just go through. This is from Channel 7, so we don't get any of the facts twisted. This is from Channel 7. 2 weeks before he was suspended for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy, Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams was nearly arrested by Detroit police over a gun found in a vehicle. Now, as a result of questions by Channel 7 News in Detroit, the department is investigating why Williams was released from custody after officers had previously planned to take him to jail. The star wide receiver came into contact with police after midnight on October 8th. So this is not yesterday or last week. This is October 8th. Police pulled over a vehicle being driven by J-Mo's brother near the corner of Connor and Jefferson Avenue. The vehicle was stopped, police say, for speeding. So speeding after midnight, yep. October 8th. Commander McGinnis reviewed the body cam footage. Oh, no, sorry. I'm out of order here. Am I missing a page here on this story? I am missing a page here on this story. John, if you want to pick up where I left off here.
Oh.
Page two.
Page two.
Okay, this here is. By an officer, here you go. Williams, I have a million brother, sheets of paper, yeah, okay?
Williams' brother disclosed that there were two guns in the car, which is what you're supposed to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, well, it's the law to do. You got to have to disclose. The first laid in the back seat, while the second, according to police, was under Williams' seat. Officers found that gun in the back seat and was registered to Williams' brother, who had a concealed pistol license, or CPL, while the gun under Williams' seat was registered to him. That's Jameson Williams, not his brother. He did not possess a CPL. The officer concluded that was a problem and told Williams he was going to be taken into custody for carrying a concealed weapon. It is clear from body cam footage that the officer does not know who Williams is, but repeatedly the wide receiver would remind him, I play for the Lions, bro. I'm Jameson Williams. Minutes later, he said, bro, I play for the Detroit Lions. Minutes after that, he said once more, bro, I play for the Lions. The officer told Williams that his position did not influence whether he would be arrested. At one point during the stop, Williams' brother told police that the gun belongs to him, but later on, Williams would admit that the gun was his.
And that is a huge sticking point in all of this.
Yep.
Because if both guns are his brother's, who has a CPL, mm-hmm. there's nothing to see here. But when J-Mo fesses up, oh, that's my registered firearm, and it's not properly stored, it's what opened up this can of worms, and the officer said, well, we're going to have to arrest you. Until things changed.
Yeah. Why don't you pick up from here?
Yeah. I mean, so from there, we're reviewing the body cam foot. Nope, this is the wrong sheet.
Yep. I got the gun for protection, Williams said. Do you guys know where I live at? Detroit. Williams was handcuffed and placed in the back of the squad car. In an interview on Monday, Detroit Police Commander Michael McGinnis supported the officer's actions. I feel that there was probable cause to arrest, and he was under arrest by the patrol officer. And because of that, he should have been conveyed to the Detroit Detention Center and processed. But Williams wasn't taken to jail. Instead, a supervisor was called to the scene. The department says that's not unusual for a high-profile stop and is a precaution to make sure that policy is followed in cases that could create media coverage. Within a few minutes, a sergeant arrived on the scene. Unlike the responding officer, the sergeant was a Lions fan and immediately recognizes Williams' name. Body cam footage also showed that the sergeant's cell phone wallpaper was a Lions logo. Over the next 30 minutes, the sergeant would make a series of phone calls to higher-ranking officials, trying to determine if Williams needed to be arrested or if the driver's CPL covered both his and Williams' gun. At one point, the sergeant is seen leaning into one of the arresting officers, whispering, "I'm so mad at you." Commander McGinnis, who reviewed the body cam footage, said he believed the sergeant was referring to both arresting officers in a jovial way. After conferring with multiple supervisors, the sergeant makes two more phone calls, and it appears Williams is about to be taken to jail. Be advised, he's coming in. You might want to make special accommodations, the sergeant says in one phone call. He's going to be going for carrying a concealed weapon, he says in another. But minutes later, everything seemingly changed. The sergeant spoke to a lieutenant who said Williams should be released from custody. The lieutenant's side of the conversation cannot be heard. Okay, beautiful. I'm good to let him go. The sergeant asked before hanging up, you're a expletive hero. Thank you so much.
So as we read through that, and as I interpret that, and you guys have your own interpretations, you can call in. We've got pages of Ticket Text, 248-539-9797. It would appear that a guardian angel stepped in high up within the police department and said, he plays for the Lions. I know who he is. Let's not cause too much trouble. Nothing to see here. That's why this is a story. It's JMO which creates the headline, but it's the police department that has their own investigation into, did they let someone off who was committing a crime? Right. That someone is JMO, and that's why this is something we're talking about on a sports station. What I don't understand is, like this ticket text we just got. John, we're reading excerpts from Channel 7. Texter says, Channel 7 out here making trouble, sabotaging our Super Bowl run. This is infuriating. The media need to focus on the important stuff. Well, I think abuse of power is important. I think if police aren't going to hold everyone to the same laws, that's an issue. I think Channel 7 has no issue with the story. If you have an issue with the story, you have an issue with the conduct of the people involved, the police and JMO. I don't know why it's the news outlet's fault for telling you what happened. You don't have to like it. I don't like that this is the story today, John. I don't like that JMO continues to be involved in things where he doesn't follow rules and laws.
Yeah, and when you sent me, I was oblivious to what was going on yesterday. A lot of running around. You sent me this, you know, news article, me and Tom, later in the day, and it's an instant eye roll. What now?
Yeah.
And I think one of the important questions is, outside of what's going on with the police department or the DA's office, if they decide to move forward with the investigation and ultimately charges, for the Detroit Lions, how big of a deal is this?
Yeah, they knew about this.
Yeah, Jameson Williams told them immediately when it happened, October the 8th.
So they knew about this even before he was suspended for the performance-enhancing substance. So anything Dan Campbell has said, it was with the knowledge that this had already happened. Mm-hmm. So and Dan has come out and said, like, there's still more rope, right? They still have a level of trust in him.
He's going to have to work his way back.
Yeah, pay for your sins, I think was a phrase he used. And that's kind of how I view this. Like, I don't think that this should be something where they're freely handing out contract extensions or fifth-year options. I do think he has to go out and earn it. He has the second half of this season where he needs to perform on the field and avoid the nonsense, and then he can continue to be here. But he has to earn being a Lion long-term. This is a concerning pattern where level of focus has hurt Jameson Williams. The level of focus, the attention to detail that's not there. And if you want to talk about sabotaging a Super Bowl run, that to me is a bigger issue than anything a local news station is going to publish. Act right. Follow the laws. Follow the rules. Then you're not in this position to begin with. We want to get to your thoughts on the phones. 248-539-9797. There's also a bunch of ticket texts that I'd like to start getting in the mix here. Ticket texter says, boycott Channel 7 news. Come on, people. But another one says, good for Channel 7 for reporting on something, whether or not it involves their favorite football team. The lieutenant was thinking about a Lions Super Bowl, but the law is the law, reads another unnamed ticket texter. This one says, people get off like this all the time, but you want to make it a big deal.
Well,
it depends why he was let go,
right?
Which is what they're investigating.
And there are individuals in this same situation that maybe they're able to, you know, justify why they have it, or and the officer or the lieutenant, whoever, agrees and they let him off. I think most people would agree more times than not, in this situation, you're not getting off.
He was going to be arrested if he didn't disclose who he was.
Yeah, they were set
That's
to take him in.
That's what triggered this whole cycle of events where the sergeant showed up, and then it appeared that they were still going to arrest him until some phone calls, 30 minutes went by or whatever it was, and somebody between the commander and the sergeant said, don't arrest him.
But I just want to point this out for people who think that Jameson Williams is like a target of the media, Channel 7, anybody on this station or anybody on social media. Like, people aren't out to get him. They're going out of their way to give him the benefit of the doubt here. They're going out of their way to allow him to skirt the law in this instance. Like, it's the opposite narrative of what you're seeing on your social media. Everybody's out to get J-Mo. He's just a good kid. We've heard people refer to him as a kid on the station. He's a grown man. He's a millionaire. He's got responsibilities. He has an obligation as a gun owner, a legal gun owner, to properly travel with a firearm. And it's not something he was doing. And I wonder how often he has been traveling safely with that firearm. Like, he is an adult, and he has been given a lot of grace, and he's been given second and third and probably fourth and fifth chances. Because he's a football player. So let's stop this narrative that, like, everybody's trying to tear J-Mo down. J-Mo's trying to tear J-Mo down, and everybody else is propping him up and trying to tell him, stop screwing up.
He keeps putting himself in these situations, you know, and say whatever you want about the gambling one. Say whatever you want about the PEDs. Say whatever you want about this one. This is now the third time that there has been an issue that's not on the field. It's not in the locker room. It's not, you know, dropping balls in the game or making big plays in the game. This is off the field distractions. And I think we all agree, as long as his level of performance is above the level of distraction, now hopefully they can, you know, have some corrective behavior, or maybe this finally is the one that opens his eyes and says, I need to stop doing these things. It's as long as his level of performance is above that distraction, he's still going to be with the Detroit Lions.
You've talked about, hey, you've had teammates that had to learn their lesson, right?
Oh, yeah. And the one that learned it the hardest way was Sean Taylor. When he came into the league, he was acting a lot like Jameson Williams. And then there was an incident. I don't remember what he was arrested for, but he was in court. And it was the one time where I saw, when he returned after that, got that situation settled, he was a completely different individual. And it what a great team. He was a good teammate before, but no distractions. Was a guy that did everything right in his way, and was a great leader on the field, in the locker room, and in the community.
And you always say teams can get better, people can grow up. Yep. I certainly want him to be a more responsible member of the Lions. I'd like him to be here a very long time. I don't want this to cause his time to be short here.
I think we're all very different people at 30. Than we were at 23. Sure. I know I'm different at 48 than I was at either of those two different levels. And I made decisions at that young age that maybe didn't show up in the news or wasn't going to cost me as much. But, like, you have the opportunity to make better decisions. And at some point, you got to wake up and make better decisions.
On the subject of learning from it, do you put any stock into his Halloween costume? Dressing up as like an inmate? Making light of his issues. Is that a grown-up perspective? I mean, it's Halloween. You're allowed to have fun. Right. But, John, it does feel kind of tone-deaf when that picture circulates.
Yes, the perception's not great.
It's so funny. I'm suspended and can't play football games. I don't get that joke. That's not a funny joke to me.
It's a young person, and in his mind, this is going to be really funny. I'm not going to stomp or raise any issues with his Halloween costume.
I'm not saying he's not allowed to wear it. I just think it speaks to a level of, like, didn't he go to Vegas right after he was suspended for the gambling?
Yes.
J-Mo, you're not making this easy. We don't want to do this.
Optics don't look good.
J-Mo, Mike and Canton, you're on 97.1.
Hey, boys. So first thing is, I want to say I think J-Mo is incredibly immature, but I don't, with all the information we have available, I don't see the crime that was committed. J-Mo's brother, as a CPL holder, can possess anybody's firearm. It does not matter who it's registered to, whose name it's in. Does not matter. So I think on the surface, this internal affairs investigation, you know, that might be needed just because of, you know, the officers that showed up, the things that happened, and, you know, they're trying to find out why it happened the way it did. But at the end of the day, this case would have been dropped by even a decent attorney.
Well, the issue becomes, and you're right, he can possess multiple firearms by being a CPL holder in that. But when asked, Jameson Williams said, yeah, that's mine. And that admission is what changes it.
Right. No, but that doesn't matter. His brother can possess anybody's registered firearm.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whose it was.
Until he says, that's my gun.
No, it does not matter. Now, you can say, I agree with you, he probably should have probably kept his mouth shut, but the letter of the law says that it does not matter. You can look up the MCL. I'm not going to give it to you now. You guys got a job to do. But it's 100% legal, and maybe the worst thing J-Mo did was use those words to give the officers anything to look into. But at the end of the day, that case would have been dropped in court.
It may have, or it may have been pled down to a misdemeanor. Yeah. We've seen that before.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we've seen it, and it's not out of the question. And that would have been a temporary headline, and it would have gone away. Instead, we've got this, and I think the bigger story probably is the police department more than J-Mo, to your point about needing to make sure that they have their P's and Q's and they conduct themselves the proper way, no matter who is in the car. But from his standpoint, you're flirting with a line right there when you're talking about it's your registered firearm, right? And you don't have a CPL, and you're telling him it's my gun. You are inviting in that conversation. And the officers on the scene thought it was serious enough for him to be arrested. It didn't end up going that way.
And I agree with you guys. It's not a great look. I think, you know, it could have probably been handled a lot better and maybe not smart on his end. You know, but it's somebody that has spent, you know, decades researching this and teaching this type of stuff. You know, it would have been eventually handled and taken care of. But
Mike,
he probably should have handled it different on the surface.
I was gonna say, and you're a reasonable person. How did you feel about him stressing repeatedly to the officer when he was starting to get a little heat? I play for the Lions. I play for the Detroit Lions. I'm on the Detroit Lions. Does that sit well with you?
To me, that's where another thing with the maturity comes in. I think it was pretty silly how he handled that. And, you know, I hope he can learn from it. You know, but that was a actually bigger issue I had.
Right. This idea that, like, hey, I'm starting to run into some legal trouble, but did you see this touchdown I caught? J-Mo, that doesn't, like, that's not a defense. The defense is my brother is legally transporting both firearms. That's the defense, not, hey, come on, do me a solid here. I play for the, he didn't say, don't you know who I am? But when you repeat over and over again, I play for the Detroit Lions, you are doing the, don't you know who I am, which never sets well with people.
Do you think a Piston could get away with that? Do you know who I am? No.
Who now?
I mean, they look pretty good this year.
You know, talk about piling on.